What does it cost to be perfect? For 15-year-old Kambilia Chike, perfection means speaking only when spoken to, earning top marks in every subject, and never questioning her father's rigid schedule. It means living in a sprawling mansion in Enugu, Nigeria, yet feeling suffocated by silence. Through Kambili's eyes, we enter a world where wealth and brutality coexist, where a man celebrated as a community hero terrorizes his own family behind closed doors. Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie's stunning debut captures the suffocating weight of domestic violence wrapped in religious devotion, set against Nigeria's turbulent political landscape of the 1990s. Before she became globally renowned for Half of a Yellow Sun and her viral TED Talk, Adichie crafted this intimate portrait of a family's unraveling, a story so vivid and heartbreaking that Chinua Achebe himself declared she came almost fully made as a writer. Eugene Achike embodies contradiction. Publicly, he's Omolora, the one who does for the community, a wealthy publisher whose newspaper, The Standard, fearlessly challenges military dictatorship. He feeds villages, funds medical care and schools. At home, he's a tyrant whose religious fundamentalism justifies brutal violence. When Kambili places second instead of first, he beats her with a leather belt, then lovingly examines her wounds as if violence were care. This manipulation makes love and terror indistinguishable. Kambili and 17-year-old Jaja develop the language of the eyes, communicating through glances while remaining nearly silent. Their mother moves like a ghost, mechanically cleaning shattered figurines after Eugene's rages. The family inhabits their luxurious compound like prisoners, isolated and unable to form authentic connections. Eugene's rejection of his Igbo heritage reveals colonialism's deep wounds. He forbids his children from speaking Igbo publicly, limits visits with their heathen grandfather, Papa Nuku, to 15 minutes, and expels the old man from the house at Christmas. Yet Papa Nuku, despite his poverty, possesses a joy and wisdom Eugene entirely lacks, greeting his grandchildren enthusiastically as Neke, Neke, in an ancient dialect Kambili finds beautiful. This generational conflict exposes how colonial powers weaponized Christianity to undermine indigenous cultures. When Kambili calls Papa Nuku a pagan, Aunt Ifeoma corrects her sharply. He is not a pagan, he is a traditionalist. This distinction, meaningless to Kambili, taught to pray for non-Catholics destined for hellfire, captures the novel's central tension between inherited colonial perspectives and reclaimed cultural identity. The tragedy deepens when Eugene reveals that, as a boy, a priest punished him by soaking his hands in boiling water, a cycle of abuse passed from colonizer to colonized to the next generation, illustrating how historical trauma continues shaping lives decades later. Everything changes when Kambili and Jaja visit their Aunt Ifeoma in Suka. Auntie Ifeoma, Eugene's widowed sister and a university lecturer, represents everything Eugene rejects. She embraces both Catholicism and Igbo traditions, speaks her mind freely, and encourages her children to question authority. Her modest university flat, with its book-crammed shelves and garden of purple hibiscus, becomes a sanctuary where Kambili and Jaja discover their own voices. Here, family life looks completely different. Auntie Ifeoma's children, Amaka, Obiora, and Chima, argue, laugh, and speak freely at dinner. Words spurted from everyone, often not seeking and not getting any response, a stark contrast to the permission-seeking speech at home. When Auntie Ifeoma asks if they sing during prayers, Jaja simply replies, "We don't sing at home." That simple statement contains volumes. The purple hibiscus in Auntie Ifeoma's garden becomes the novel's central symbol, a hybrid flower representing freedom and authenticity. Unlike the startling red hibiscuses at home that represent Eugene's rigid control, these purple blooms suggest new possibilities. When Jaja secretly brings cuttings home, his small act of defiance foreshadows greater rebellion to come. The Achike family's suffering mirrors Nigeria's crisis under military dictatorship. Eugene's newspaper boldly criticizes the regime, making him both hero and target. When editor Ade Coker exposes corruption, a package bomb kills him at breakfast with his family. Public atrocities parallel Eugene's private violence. Just as the military maintains control through systematic intimidation, Eugene exercises authority through orchestrated abuse. When Kambili mentions Papa Nuku's death, he pours boiling water on her feet. That is what you do to yourself when you walk into sin. This parallelism extends throughout society. At Auntie Ifoma's university, a sole administrator creates fear professors, face dismissal for criticizing corruption. When Kambili and Jaja witness soldiers demolishing market stalls and beating vendors, their mute observation mirrors their response to domestic terrorism, silence born of fear. Adichie reveals how silence enables oppression at every level, perpetuating cycles of abuse. The climactic confrontation erupts when Eugene discovers Kambili's hidden painting of Papa Nuku. He destroys it and brutally beats her until she loses consciousness, hospitalizing her. Auntie Ifeoma's words become both warning and prophecy. When a house is on fire, you run out before the roof collapses on your head. During Kambili's recovery, parallel crises intensify. Campus protests escalate as students chant, "Sole administrator must go, head of state must go." Auntie Ifeoma's outspoken criticism draws dangerous attention from security forces, forcing her to plan escape to America, a decision that troubles Amaka, who passionately questions, "Why do we have to run away from our own country? Why can't we fix it?" Jaja's transformation reaches a symbolic turning point when a wedding gift of a live chicken arrives. He volunteers to kill it, a task he's never attempted. His disturbingly methodical approach reveals a newfound capacity for calculated action, while his confession about wanting to leave with Auntie Ifeoma demonstrates a fundamental shift in his relationship with paternal authority. The situation reaches its breaking point when Mama arrives bearing fresh wounds. Eugene destroyed the family's Bible table by smashing it against her belly, causing her to lose a 6-week pregnancy. Yet even facing this tragedy, Mama insists on returning to Enugu, defending Eugene by highlighting his charitable works. 3 days after Jaja's Palm Sunday rebellion, Mama reveals she poisoned Eugene, methodically adding small amounts to his tea. When police investigate, Jaja immediately claims responsibility. "I put it in his tea." This ultimate act of protection results in his imprisonment. 3 years later, the family exists in simultaneous healing and haunting. Mama speaks more, but obsessively polishes Eugene's broken figurines, as though the more she polishes, the more it will erase what happened. Kambili has transformed remarkably, having spoken more in the past 3 years than in the past 15, discovering her identity beyond fear. Father Amadi, now a missionary in Germany, provides ongoing comfort through letters. Most significantly, the purple hibiscus cuttings from Nasuka have thrived throughout their garden. As Kambili and Mama prepare to visit Jaja with news of his imminent release, Kambili notices rare, fragrant blossoms are about to burst open. This image suggests that despite deep trauma, the family may finally discover true freedom, the ability to forge their own paths forward. Through Kambili's journey from silence to speech, Adichie reveals how personal liberation intertwines with broader political and cultural freedom. In gardens shadowed by trauma, purple hibiscus still blooms, gradually, against odds, requiring both nurturing and patience.